Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. Come explore news, information, entertainment, and ideas from a pagan point of view around the globe. Tune in every night for interviews and lively discussions on current events, philosophy, traditional and not-so-traditional practices, DIY projects, the who's who and what's what of our growing pagan community right here on Blog Talk Radio in English and now in Spanish.
Powers of life fill me and enfold me. Suffuse me and empower me, awaken me, the fire of passion, courage, and creativity, which burns within. As the fire in the night banishes the dark, so may the fire in my belly banish all that holds me back or frightens me, that I may live in the light and seize the joy of every moment. There is one power in the universe, and I am a perfect manifestation of that power, proud, beautiful, and unafraid. No power may hold me back or cage me, for the power of the Spirit is in me. I rejoice in my life and in every action. I love and am loved in return. I reflect the light of deity in my life with boundless passion and creativity, with which I honor myself in the divine, for that which is above is like unto that which is below. Yea, both are equal, for neither is complete without the other. But together, all things are possible. Welcome to Pagan Priestess, and thank you for joining us.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are in the world. This is Tracy Logan Wood coming to you live from the Pagans Tonight Radio Network. And this is Pagan Priestess. Thank you for joining us. So tonight, we're down a priestess, but we have Bridget, who is amazing and has been my co-host on many occasions without a whole panel before Priestess existed.
Well, hi there, and thanks for having me on.
I'm glad you showed up. It has been a wicked, weird Mercury retrograde this month. And a lot of the priestesses have not been on throughout the month.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, and no, I couldn't argue with you there. It has been a very strange month with things going on. So, yes, it has been strange.
So, please do remind the audience of who you are, where you're from, and what you do before we start chatting.
I am the Reverend Lady Bridget, High Priestess of the Coven of Eldar. I'm a Queen Mother. I have several groups underneath me, and I do a lot of various different things. I've got my hand in the pagan ministries and been doing a lot of work with that here lately, and writing some articles. I've written articles. I'm working on a book at the moment, and it's a work in progress. So that's about it for now.
So, and for those of you who don't know who I am Tracy Logan Wood, the Juggler of Sound. That's it. That's my official bio. I'm the Juggler of Sound.
Right, just for tonight, huh?
So catch us up on what you've been doing over the last month. How was your Thanksgiving?
Different, unusual. I decided not to cook this year and that we were going to go to the Golden Corral for Thanksgiving. And, oh, yeah, look, we went there for dinner one night and they had this big sign. Oh, yeah, let's look at that. Man, that's pretty cheap. Yeah, let's go do that. And it's like, Jesus, half of the city decided that's what they were going to do. I had no idea that we would have to go there and stand in line, a line that went from the cash register out to the parking lot. I mean, out the door. It was a fast-moving line, but still a little more than what I was expecting. Luckily, I had friends who had gone in before us. We were going to meet up, and they ended up having to go in a little bit earlier, and I called ahead to her, and I said, you know, we're on our way. How close are you guys to being finished and leaving? And she said, oh, we'll be leaving soon. And I said, well, you can't leave until we get there. That way, once we get there, you can leave when we get your table. That way, we'll be sure to have a table. So I made her stay and hold the table hostage until we got there, which was a good thing to do because it was crowded. There's lots of people. So, you know, it was different. I mean, you know, my husband decided he was going to buy a new deep fryer. So he got this electric fryer and decided we're going to, my oldest son likes the deep fried turkey. So he did a deep fried turkey for him and we made him au gratin potatoes and a couple of vegetable dishes and some crescent rolls and took it over to him and his wife so they could have some over at their house and have, you know, turkey for the month to get them through. So they had a lot of food. It's like, well, we did all this cooking for them, and then who we went out to eat? That just didn't seem right. Just didn't seem right. So, and then today I just kind of, I hid. I stayed inside. I was out last week doing prison ministry, and it was so warm, I didn't think I needed that coat. And, of course, I caught the cold. So frightened with that, and I figured today was a good day to just stay home, clean house, you know, stay warm, and I avoid all the madness that was out there, insane people out there.
Absolutely. My daughter decided to go brave the mall today. And so
she waved
and said, you're on your own. Bye.
Yes. Yeah, she's young. Those young ones can handle this nonsense. But, you know, we've been there, done that. I don't want to do it again.
Well, you know, and for those of you who feel the very same way, you know, because that just gave me an opportunity to plug the store. So today, which is normally known as Black Friday in the non-vegan retail world, at the Witch School store, it is White Light Fairy Friday. So today we had a 20% sale off on all the books, is still going until midnight.
Well, that's good. Tomorrow.
So for people who want to hit the store. So we're actually having a sale all weekend. It's just different things that are on sale.
Well,
books today, jewelry tomorrow, stones on Sunday, and all the oils and incense on Monday.
Well, that coincides with tomorrow because tomorrow is what they call the Small Business Saturday. And the day that they're, tomorrow is the big day to encourage purchasing your Christmas presents and Yule gifts from the small businesses, mom and pop, local businesses like, you know, your witch school store and your local witch stores. So this is a good time to do that and get to the witch school and buy those goodies, buy those presents now.
Absolutely. So, so we're doing sales all weekend, so I figured I'd toot my horn because I usually don't talk about any of the store stuff because, you know, I still haven't made a store commercial yet.
Aha. Well, you just made one.
There you go. Yes, it was a public service statement.
Yeah, public service.
Servicing the community, 20% off all weekend. So, but at any rate, so we're supposed to be talking about gratitude. So that is our topic. So we've kind of talked about it all month. It's been sort of wonky.
In what way?
With Mercury retrograde, because we have had some kind of issue with one more or all of the priestesses every Friday since Mercury has gone into retrograde. So we've loosely talked about we were talking about their about.com had an article that they put called 10 Ways for Pagans to Show Gratitude. So it talked about different days or different ways for people to see, this is what happens when Ed's asking me questions and I'm typing and talking at the same time. I cannot read, type, and talk at the same time.
Okay.
Because it makes me have squirrel moments. So the article basically said, like, you know, do gratitude rituals for the gods. Like, you know, and this is just a ritual to show your gratitude and not ask for anything at all. And then we talked about journaling and talking about the people that inspire you and things like that. And so everybody kind of put their two cents worth in about gratitude throughout the month. And so we're the final show.
Oh, well, that's good.
On gratitude. So it was half the show was talking about gratitude, and then half the show was talking about projects we're working on.
Okay.
So it was kind of a two-parter show.
I see. And being grateful that you have those projects to work on?
Absolutely. So it was kind of funny because it ended up being Stephanie Grimassi and I last Friday. And so she kind of took issue with me saying that I was grateful for all of the crafts and things that I do because they're coping tools for me. And she didn't like that I was calling them coping tools. She thought that there was a better way to say that.
A better way of saying that it was a coping tool? Well,
yeah. That coping, it sounded like, you know, just coping rather than living.
I can understand that in a way.
So, I mean, she wasn't being persnickety or anything. She was just trying to say, you know, she had preferences for other words.
Right. You know, I understand that. It's like, you know, a way for me to relieve my stress when I'm super stressed out. One of my ways is to create, you know, and that's making the cards that I do. I do the, like a greeting card, similar to what you do, except mine are a little fancier and they're more like frameable art. It becomes artwork, you know, after a point. And I can, for me, it's a way of calming and kind of just going away and letting the stress just, you know, dissolve by immersing myself into my artwork and working on something like that. It was a way to de-stress and a way to get through. So I do a lot with the card making. That is one of the things I do. Unlike you, I'm artsy, crafty, you know. So I do different things. Sometimes something might tickle my fancy and, you know, I may decide to crochet for a while, which is another good way to get through. Plus, it keeps my hands busy. And right now, since I'm only, 3 months into a no-smoking gig, the biggest thing has been keeping my hands busy.
So I've been grateful
for my craft and my artwork. That has been a big help in me staying, you know, cigarette free. So it hasn't, it's not an easy thing. I mean, there's times I still want to have a cigarette. To me, having a cigarette was a way of getting rid of stress. I mean, when I was really stressed out, I'd have a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, relax a little bit. And believe it or not, back in the day, in those old days when people would smoke, you know, that was one of the things they would tell you. You know, have a cigarette, you'll calm down, or you'll relax. You know, that was one of those beliefs.
And actually, did you know that smoking a cigarette raises your temperature?
It does raise your temperature, yes. Not much. But
no, not much, but it does. I just didn't know if you knew that.
Yeah, not by much, though. Sometimes not even really, not even enough for it to be noticeable. It doesn't raise it that much. But it does raise the blood pressure, and it's noticeable. And that was one of the things I had to be aware of.
I gotcha. But I didn't know that you quit smoking, so kudos to you.
I got a scare there with the blood pressure being so high. Both numbers were in triple digits, and I was in my doctor's office, and he's like calling the squad. And I'm saying, don't call me a squad. Do not call an ambulance for me. I won't go. And he said, you need to go. We've got to get you in there. And I said, it's like this, Doc. It's not just no. It's a hell no. I really will not go. My car is in your parking lot. I'm not leaving my car here. And, you know, it's not a bad area. It's just my car is my baby. And I said, I'm not leaving my car here, and I'm not going into any hospital. I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I'm not going into a hospital. And he was really not happy.
And so now when I clap my hands, Lady Bridget barks.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. You know what they say with pagans when you say, I will do anything. But I'm glad. Well, I'm glad that no harm came to you, but it gave you enough of a scare to make you quit.
Enough to make me quit, and to appreciate.
I can't see that being a bad thing.
No, it made me appreciate what I have a lot more. Made me more aware of what I have to lose. So I want to see my granddaughter, you know, grow up, and I want to see my oldest grandson getting into college here soon. He's 15. You know, be finishing high school not too far away. You know, mostly it's, you know, I want to be around for my granddaughter. That's the first girl we've had in several generations of boys. And,
well,
you know,
then that's definitely something to be grateful for.
It is. She's going to be my little witchlet.
You
know, I whisper in her ear, and her name is Bella Renee. And when she was born, I made up this little poem because she's, you know, just so much, after seeing this, I said, my God, she's going to be like her grandmother. You know, she's so much like me. And, I mean, she is very much, she has that intuition. She's already got some of that going. But, you know, I have this little thing, and it's like, Bella Renee, I call your name. You and I are one and the same, mind for mind, sight for sight. We're one of a kind of a thing. And, you know, I whisper this to her. When she would be fussy, I could pick her up and I'd whisper in her ear. And she loved that. She would stop fussing. She'd get real quiet and just loved it. And once I was finished whispering, she looked at me with a big smile. And once she started talking, she learned the word again. And she would say, again. Well, now that she's getting older and she's really talking, I thought, oh, my God, you know, my husband and I were talking about that. I said, oh, my God, she's going to start repeating what I'm saying. So I have to start thinking of something else because her mom, especially her mom, but my son is not so much into this, even though he's grown up with it. He does know that we believe this certain things, you know, that we believe. He's more agnostic, but you know, he understands what we believe and how we practice, whereas his wife does not. She has no clue, and she wants nothing to do with it, and she does not want her children involved in it. Do not teach that to my children. Oh, no, honey, don't worry. I won't teach them things like that. No, no, no. Oh, yeah, right, my eye. You know, come over and visit Granny, and Granny's going to show you little things like I did with my grandson, like, you know, how to appease
nice.
The and have the fairies leave you little goodies and how much to be grateful for that. And that taught him gratitude. That was a good gratitude lesson. When he was good.
I gotcha. So let me ask you a question and get a little bit more macro versus micro. Where do you feel gratitude has a place in spiritual practice? How important do you believe it is for pagans to practice gratitude in their religious practices?
I think it's very important. I think showing gratitude is as necessary as showing respect. Almost like they would go together. You know, you're grateful for what you have. You're grateful for what things that you've been able to bring in. And you still have respect for those elements and powers that be. I think it plays a very important role, don't you?
I do, absolutely. I've been talking about it all month.
I bet you have.
And how do you feel about, what's the general consensus do you see of gratitude practiced amongst pagans?
Well,
do you think it's common, not common enough?
I don't think it's common enough. I think sometimes people forget, and even for myself included, I think that we all tend to forget sometimes to be grateful for what we have. Sometimes we're so, I've seen people so focused on what they don't have that they forget to be grateful for what they do have and to pay thanks for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, realize what you have and give thanks, have gratitude for that.
So we kind of talked about that, how to incorporate that more into a general practice for people. So what I thought was interesting as far as practicing gratitude as far as keeping a journal. So I know a lot of pagans and witches and heathens keep track of the spells that they do, whether they do it in their Book of Shadows, for those people who do keep them, or whether they just kind of journal on their magical practice in general about, you know, so you would kind of write down, okay, you know, I did this spell and, you know, here's everything I used. Here's exactly the ritual that I used or the working that I did. And then they would come back later and then kind of journal like what happened. You know, and I guess that's like a thing with some people as far as, you know, what percentage of success they experienced with the spell that they used. I would think like even a third part of that could be like, okay, here's what I did. Here's what happened. And so I got, you know, 85% of what I asked for happened. And now let me journal a little bit on just being grateful for what did happen. I thought that was kind of an interesting way to incorporate it into a journaling system if somebody did that.
I think so, too. I think it's a great way. Plus, it gives you insight as to, you know, how well things are working. And when things work well, you know the elements that you've put together so that you can repeat it. And when they don't, it also gives you that insight as to what you need to do to make it better. And you know, you've got, I think journaling is a wonderful thing for magical working because it gives you such insight into what you're doing, period.
Absolutely. So I'm curious how karma and, you know, we always like to talk about the good things that happen to us as far as gratitude. What about the bad things that happen? Sounds worth on that when the universe kind of smacks you around and you potentially have a situation that you're quite unhappy with. And some of you might feel that way post-Thanksgiving. But where do you feel gratitude comes in with a hard lesson?
Well, I'm not sure gratitude and karma would go together. Maybe they do. Without really dwelling on it, I haven't really thought much about that. But
let me give you an example.
What does gratitude have to do with karma?
Well, let me give you an example. Chuck and I went out to go run some errands, but we were halted by our errands because there was a problem with one of the tires. Chuck just thought the tire was low. So we went to the gas station to fill it up, and it just wouldn't hold air. So we were like, oh, crap, we just need to get the tire replaced. So, Chuck was going to drive me to work and drop me off first, and I was like, no, don't do that, because if the rest of the air comes out of the tire, you're going to make it worse by being stuck somewhere. So we were relatively close to the tire shop. I'm like, I'll just call my boss, tell him I'm not coming in, and we'll go right to the tire shop and just get this taken care of immediately. It was kind of a sucky situation, but I was glad it happened the way it did on a day that Chuck was off, because I feel like it's more important for him to get to work than it is necessarily for me to get to work.
Sure.
And it was just, like a lot of jumping through hoops. But I was grateful that even though the whole situation was a pain in the ass, that it happened the way it did, because it could have been suckier if it happened like, Chuck had to be at work at 6 a.m. and came outside to a flat tire.
Right. Right. I understand that. So how does that relate to karma?
In a karmic sense, if if there's something karmic going on, a karmic lesson, as the saying goes, the lesson will be repeated until you learn the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, if it's something that the universe sort of smacks me with, it's very difficult for me to be grateful anytime soon. Like, I have to have some distance and some perspective that, like, maybe 6 months later, I mean, might be like, okay, I'm actually grateful that all of that stuff went down the way it did when it did, because it really was what was best for me.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I needed to learn. So I just that's where I was relating it to karma and gratitude.
I see.
Because sometimes the gods of the universe is like, yeah, now, right now, you need to learn this. Pow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is true.
So somebody in the chat room is saying, because you can be grateful that the gods give you a way to grow.
Oh, I see that. Sure. Leaving offerings is a good way to show gratitude. That's a great way. And yes, being grateful that the gods gave you a way to grow in a gentle way. Sometimes the gods, when you're not listening and you need to do some growth and you aren't listening, sometimes you end up getting your butt kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Personally speaking, I've had, my butt kicked a couple of times where I needed to learn a lesson, and it was like, oh, wow, gee, yeah, now I get it. But mostly, I think I'm really grateful that I have the ability to watch other people make those mistakes, and I can learn from their mistakes. I'm always aware of that. I've always been aware of that, and I've always been grateful for having the ability to see other people screwing up and going, ooh, gosh, I don't want to do that, or, wow, I'm glad they did it because now I know what happens when you do stupid things, so I know not to do it, and I'm always grateful for not having to repeat someone else's stupidity.
Absolutely. I think I am. I'm really grateful for that one.
Oh yeah.
There's a loophole in there somewhere that goes, and the universe says, "I'm showing this to you for a very specific reason."
Absolutely. And I'm always showing my gratitude, whether it's silently of going, gosh, I'm glad I saw that, you know, better them than me. Or whether I do it verbally and go, you know, God, thank you, Goddess, for showing me this. Because I've been able to see things in a better way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, I just think gratitude is one of those things that needs to be practiced very often and regularly. So I like that Patty Wigington from About.com, which I hope I'm not, like, driving you people insane with, like, continuing to mention that article. But I like that she does such good pagan articles on About.com for pagans.
Mm-hmm.
So, do we have any more to say about, like, gratitude and stuff? So we can take a musical break and move on to projects? Or are you wanting to talk about gratitude some more?
I was going to say, the one thing I think, individually speaking, I think we're all aware of being grateful for whatever, fill in the blank. But do we teach it to our children as much as we're aware of being grateful? Do we teach our children to be grateful? Because I don't always see that. And it was something that I myself realized with, you know, my son. A lot of you know my youngest one that we call Mouse. You know, with him, he takes a lot of things for granted, or he used to. He doesn't as much anymore. But, you know, in his younger days, he used to take a lot of things for granted and wouldn't realize that, gosh, you know, this happened for a good reason, or you should be grateful that this happened to you. It was, you know, something I realized. I really hadn't taught my kids about gratitude. So, because to me, I was always kind of quiet and private about it. You know, God, I'm so glad I saw this, or I'm grateful for whatever. And I realized I had to be more verbal about it in order to express it to my kids, so that they would learn to have that gratitude and to be grateful for certain things. Especially with, you know, with my youngest one, having a lot handed down to him, being a hereditary witch and having, you know, everything fall in his lap for him, he really didn't have that gratitude. So I think at some point he got a major kind of a wake-up call that, you know, you need to be grateful for these things and that you have this around. And, you know, one of his good friends lost his mother. And it was, wow, you know, I'm glad I still have my mom. That came from him. And I went, wait a minute, where did that come from? You sure you're grateful you still have your mom? That this is coming from my kid? Wow. You know, I'm like, I finally taught him gratitude. And he finally understood the lesson of gratitude. That was a big thing. So I think it's something we need to teach our children a little bit more, and, you know, myself included, especially me, because I'm such a private person and so quiet and reserved sometimes. I know I hear some of you going, yeah, ha-ha, Lady Bridget, quiet, not hardly.
Yes, I'm laughing hysterically in my head.
I'm sure you are. It's so funny because I'll say I'm shy. I am shy to a degree, but I'm not shy when it comes to speaking up on certain things like injustice or somebody, you know, not being treated properly, you know, being mean to other people and bullying. And those are kind of things that'll get me going and you know, make me move. But
I got you. It's all good. I just, you know, I had to comment there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes it's just hard not to. So we're going to take a quick musical break and play some new music. So this is this is an old CD that I have that I think that I got at one of the first pagan festivals that I went to. So, and I just finally got it up on the switchboard. So this is Todd Allen and Friends, and
oh.
the song is called Circles. So I will make sure that I mute my microphone so y'all don't have to hear me singing along in the background. So we'll be back right after this.
In days gone by, when the world was much younger, man wandered at spring, born of winter's cold night, wandering at the games of the moon and the sunlight. They saw the lady and lord of all life, and around and around and around turns the good earth. All things must change as the seasons go by. We are the children of the lord and the lady. Mysteries we know, but we'll never. Plowing and sowing as the seasons declare, waiting to reap all of the rich golden harvest, knowing at last in the joys that they share. And around and around and around turns the good earth. All things must change as the seasons go by. Still live in the love of the Lord and
Radio Network. You are tuned in to Pagan Priestess here on the network. So this is Tracy Logan Wood, your juggler of sound, along with Lady Bridget Eldar of Ohio. And so we just finished up talking about our half topic of gratitude, and we're moving on to projects. Before we, and that was Todd Allen and Friends with the Circle Song. So before we move on to projects, I wanted to kind of mention a situation that has come into my attention. So for those of you who are tuning into the show, whether you be free pagan spirits, witch school students, or part of the Karelian tradition, there is a situation with one of our members in the tradition who has become homeless. And there is a huge pagan, well, not huge, a large pagan organization called Ozark Avalon who is willing to help this person with housing and take them in and help them find a job and all that good stuff and get back on their feet. Unfortunately, this person has no way to get there. So we're kind of trying to round up the troops to see if we can collect some donations to get them a bus ticket from where they are to Ozark Avalon. So have if you are interested, what was that?
I'm sorry, I was going to say, have you tried the Salvation Army?
I don't know that the Salvation Army would give money for a bus ticket.
Yeah, sometimes they'll provide a bus ticket.
Okay, well, at any rate, we are asking people to contact Terry Power, who is going to coordinate the collection efforts on this person's behalf. So I just posted his Facebook page in the chat room. So his name is Terry Power on Facebook. He is in Northampton, Pennsylvania, I believe. And so if you are interested in, you know, whether it's $5 or $10 or whatever, to please contact him. If you have a little bit of cash to spare, like I said, everything is good. $5, $10, whatever you have to give, so we can try to get this person a bus ticket. So we're only looking to collect about $200, so anything after that, and that's why we're not giving a PayPal account. So you have to contact him directly, and then he'll give you the PayPal because we don't want to collect over that amount. Because then it gets tricky, and we have to refund money and all that stuff, so... if you are interested, please do send him a message. Otherwise, you can send us a message here at pagans tonight@gmail.com. And I would certainly be grateful for all the people who are willing to help out in this situation. So enough about that. I'm going to move on to projects.
I think that's awesome.
I have gotten to talk about all kinds of projects. The ladies were kind of chuckling at me because I was talking about a project that I'm working on called Nature's Little Recyclers. So we, I think it was the second week of the month, I was actually talking about pig poop as a project. Pig poop and vermiculture.
You were talking about, I'm sorry, you were breaking up on me there.
Oh, I'm sorry, pig poop and vermiculture. That is one of my current projects.
Okay. Would you like to elaborate on that just a wee bit?
Absolutely. So there's a new company in Chicago that is located down towards the south side called Nature's Little Recyclers. And so I guess with composting and all that sort of stuff, for those of you who haven't heard me talk about it, a lot of people use fish meal. which is great for people in coastal areas, but has a large carbon footprint for those people who are not in coastal areas. But there are pig farms, because you can smell them. They're everywhere. And pig poop is recyclable, and it's a good source for the worms to compost it. It makes great compost once the worms get a hold of it. Because otherwise it's pretty toxic.
Well, it's the same for horse poop, too. Can't you do that with horse manure?
Probably. I don't know too much about horse poop, but I guess there is kind of a little bit of an issue with pig poop and how to dispose of it, which people don't want to just dispose of it. They do want to recycle it because it makes good composting. But Ed Hubbard is manning the team of Nature's Little Recyclers with Marianne Kay. It's kind of a project they're kind of working on together to get people more interested in vermiculture and using pig poop in that process to lessen the carbon footprint of some of the composting that's going on in inland areas. So they're trying to drive down the prices of pig poop and worms. So we're working on lots of projects there. And so since you like to do cards and you do lots of card projects, I'm trying to come up with some interesting greeting cards for Nature's Little Recyclers, which is going to be doing an Indiegogo campaign soon.
It's going to be doing what kind of a campaign?
Indiegogo, which is it's a fundraising campaign.
Okay.
And so Ed's in the chat room, and he says, yes, you can go to pagonix.com. So the cool thing about this is, Nature's Little Recycler is selling baby worms.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point, we will be carrying kitchen composting units and worm eggs at Witch School store. So there's going to be like an eco section to the store.
Oh, nice.
So for some of the more eco-conscious pagans who want to be doing a little bit more. And my understanding is that just having a kitchen composter is great just to have it in your kitchen for your houseplants and stuff.
It is. It is wonderful. I have kind of the same deal. I've got a nice compost out in the back. I use it for everything, and I have probably the best worms in my compost pile. Some huge worms. My friends will come over and dig them up so they can take them to go fishing with.
So I was actually kind of surprised through kind of working on this project about the kinds of stuff that worms will actually eat. So you can cut up like an old pair of blue jeans if you're not going to make them into a quilt or something else, and worms will actually eat cotton t-shirts and denim. But
okay.
I'd have to say that I guess I never really thought about what worms would eat ever.
That was one I did not know. I know worms will eat quite a bit. I didn't know that they would eat fiber.
Yeah, they will eat all cotton t-shirts and stuff like that. So if they're, you know, if you have t-shirts that aren't something you can't do another project with them to recycle them, you can actually cut them up really into strips and little pieces, and worms will recycle them.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. That's good.
Sorry about that. I had to mute my mic because I was choking on my coffee again. I guess talking and coffee drinking are, swallow first, then talk.
Yeah, you got to kind of watch that there, you know. It's like Lady B and I, when she was, we were younger in our younger days. We were both in the same coven together, and she'd go. All we had to do was look at each other. We'd start laughing, but you know, high priest tried to separate us, didn't do any good. The minute you go to pass the wine, we're laughing and snorting the wine. And it's not a good idea to do that.
It happens. So what kind of projects are you working on?
Right now, I have a new institution that I took on. And so I have the equivalent of four institutions that I'm doing. And the new one has been tough.
Is that the prison ministry stuff you've been doing?
Yes, yes. And it's been kind of tough in that no one's done any rituals in there before. So I made history just going in there, but we made even bigger history because we did the Mavon rituals out there. And then we did a Samhain ritual and we had a feast. It's a very heavy Christian area out there. So I guess for the most part, it's been okay. But the fellows were telling me the other day that I've kind of shaken things up. They said, gee, even the officers in here, some of them are, pretty open to it. And they said some of them haven't been so kind. They haven't been too nice about it. But, at least their eyes are open to it. And, it's different. It's a project and a half. Right now I'm working on getting them reading material, working on a list of books for the chaplain to purchase so we can have that. He's made room in the library for them to have a section for the Wiccan books. This has been like 6 months in the making, so we finally...
Somebody in the chat room says, yay, pagan prison ministry.
I see that. Yeah, thank you.
So I have to tell you, last weekend, I went to... I kind of was invited to barge into the American Academy of Religions conference. So Patrick McCollum and I were able to have coffee together. And so he was there specifically at the American Academy of Religions convention to talk about some of the prison ministry issues with the chaplains.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very interesting that, for pagans who are just kind of focused on pagan things and what's going on in the pagan community, and when you kind of go outward a little bit, there is this American Academy of Religions that gets together, and there are a lot of pagans participating in these things, and there were a lot of pagans there who were participating in these conversations and working with other people to kind of move the whole pagan ministry or the pagan prison ministries forward.
It is going forward, and that's a wonderful thing to have. And that's something I was aware of. If it comes around again, I'd love to know so I could attend. But I think, we're making strides. I think that slowly we're getting more and more institutions that are available. We're getting more of them covered, but we still don't have enough to go around.
Absolutely. Yep. So one of the guys that I met, which I kind of thought was interesting, I want to mention real briefly, was a guy from the state of Connecticut who was the Department of Corrections Programs Division, and he was the Director of Religious Services. And so this guy, when he realized that I was Wiccan, asked if he could have my card so that he could call on me as a resource. So that was kind of interesting. So I don't know, somewhere down the road I may be getting a phone call from this guy going, hey, so, what is the stuff that, pagans do or do not need for a ritual ceremony?
Mm-hmm.
So that would be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
And I'd have to call somebody else who actually was a pagan chaplain and go, okay, what should I say? What's the protocol here?
Now, we have, there are a few books on teaching the a lot of these chaplains, the pagan ministry. You know, there's one, I can't remember the author of it, but it's something about Beyond the Fence or something like that is the title. It's a fairly newer book. I was doing a search on books to give this list to the chaplain, so I could give a list to him with the numbers to order from this company. And I happened to come across this book. It's a it was a fairly new book, according to the printing. But it was kind of interesting from what I was able to peruse on the internet. And it's helping these chaplains to understand the pagan aspect of things. Because this is something new to a lot of chaplains.
Mm-hmm. So how did you end up getting involved?
You know, years ago, one of my people, Lady Feather, she was my first student. She was my first hive off. And it was just a project. Somehow we used to do investigative work with the sheriff's department out here, one of the ones out here in Ohio. And through a couple of the sheriffs and other officers, she gets to know a lot of people. And next thing you know, we're working in these prisons. We knew somebody that was in prison, and they were talking about not having any representation and anyone to talk to. And one thing led to another, and Feather was one of the first women, if not the first woman, to enter into that here in Ohio. She's been doing this for years and years and years. So a lot of the battles and the fighting, you know, to obtain certain privileges is part of what she's done. Some of this is based on lawsuits. You know, a lot of these guys have had to file lawsuits. William Morehouse is probably the one credited the most with the ability to have certain items, pagan items, altar cloths, books, whatever, you know, tarot cards, pentacles. He gets a lot of the credit for that. And the case that he went on federally here is mm-hmm. something that a lot of the other states are basing their own on. So that had a lot to do with the growth of it as well. So it's just one step at a time, you know, getting in there and getting their different tools that they're allowed to have, getting approval for it.
I gotcha. It's good stuff. You will have to keep us posted on how that's going. So for the most part, we are out of time. And I have one service announcement to make. But before that, I will let you let people know where to find you when you're not here on the show.
When I'm not on the show, they can find me on Facebook. I'm under Bridget, B-R-I-G-I-D. Eldar, E-L-D-A-R, and just hit me up, give me a friend request, and say hi. Let me check out your Facebook page. That's about it. I don't have a website, so I just operate out of Facebook for now.
Okay, well, I just posted a link to your Facebook page in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
That's the bottom one that I just put in. So my service announcement, because I had mentioned it, I think the first episode for gratitude, I had mentioned the South African book drive. So now we have something I will be making into a commercial. But here we go. Here's your public service announcement. Pagans Tonight Radio needs your help in creating a pagan interfaith library in South Africa. The Karelian Nativist tradition is sponsoring the creation of this library, but all paths are welcome. In April 2013, the donated items will be shipped to South Africa to create a library in conjunction with the lustration we celebrate there. Why South Africa? Because one book in South Africa costs the equivalent of 2 days' food. Safety for pagans is also still an issue in South Africa. How can you help, you ask? There are several ways. The first is by donating your pagan-oriented fiction and nonfiction books to the library. Look at your bookshelf. If you haven't read or referred a book to in a year, Do you really need it? Do you belong to a group who could do a drive as part of their normal events? Do you have a broad circle of pagan friends that you could communicate with to promote the book mission, either by email or social media like Facebook? In addition to books, we are also looking for pagan-oriented CDs, DVDs, tarot decks, divination tools, etc. Due to international shipping rules, we cannot accept herbs, incense, candles, or perishables. You can email Lori Denman, and I posted that in the chat room if you have any questions, to cntbookmission@gmail.com. Otherwise, you can mail your donated items to Lori Denman at 11250 Old St. Augustine Road, Suite 15, number 150, Jacksonville, Florida, 32257. If you didn't catch that, the show archives in an hour, so you can go back and fast forward to the end of the show to re-get the address you can write it down. They will be combined with all donations and shipped to South Africa in April. The second way you can help is by utilizing paperbackswap.com to create credits. So more information can be had at www.corellian.com/donate.htm. And make sure to earmark your donation for the CNT mission to South Africa. To find out more about the mission, please visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/groups/CNTbooks, or you can email your questions to cntbookmission@gmail.com. Oh, that was a mouthful.
Wow. Yes, it was.
So if you want to help with the book drive, please do that. And I believe that there are many South Africans who would most appreciate having some new books that they really can buy. 2 days' worth of food is a lot to sacrifice for a book. So donations are awesome. So with that, we will be ending our show. So thank you very much, Bridget, for showing up on this lovely final Friday of Mercury retrograde.
Well, thanks again for having me, and be good to yourselves, everybody.
You as well. So next Friday we will be back. It'll be our fifth Friday of the month. So we're going to try something a little bit new, and we're going to bring some of the priests from the priest show onto Priestess, and our topic for the panel discussion will be gender-based groups. So I hope you will tune in and join us next Friday, and please do stick around because the Tree of Life is doing its final show tonight before it moves to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. So stick around, and blessed be. Good night, everybody.
Blessed be.
Come to me. Hi, this is Samara Luna.
Go ahead, Samara.
Sorry, this is Samara Luna, and this is the Tree of Life Hour, and I am here with Ravenfire.
Good evening, everyone, or good morning, or good afternoon, or wherever you are in the world today.
And our subject today, we are going to be talking about different professionalism amongst leaders in the pagan community, and hopefully as a way to deter, I hate the term, but I'm going to use the term witch wars. So pretty much, you know, one group or different groups or elders or leaders in the community kind of, you know, fighting amongst each other or with each other, and it just kind of makes the pagan community look bad as a whole in the area, and, you know, kind of turns a lot of people off from being in groups and involved in their community.
Exactly. And this kind of grew out of a thesis that I kind of had, that professionalism work well no matter what. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is the end-all, be-all as 100% foolproof way to prevent a witch war, but it gives us some food. It gives people some food for thought. And that's what this topic kind of grew from. So, I guess we should just dig right in, shall we, Samara?
Sure. So the first thing that we wanted to talk about is not really a leader problem. It's also a community problem as a whole. And that is just manners, just being polite in general. And just showing respect to other people, not just other, you know, elders or leaders in the community, but other people in general.
And something that I've learned through the years is that manners, words such as please, thank you, calling someone sir, calling someone ma'am, tend to go a long way with people. A saying that I learned from my mom and my grandmother is it's so much easier to catch flies with honey than it is with vinegar, and just a little bit of politeness for some people goes a very long way. And I'm not saying be polite to be, like, sickeningly polite, but, you know, if you're talking to someone and you don't know their name or, you know, sir or ma'am, usually is appropriate for almost anyone, even if you don't know their name, or even if they, you know, if they correct you and say, oh, no, call me so-and-so, that's fine. But it's kind of a level of courtesy, kind of a level of respect. What do you have to say, Samara?
I agree. I know some people don't like to be called sir or ma'am. It kind of makes them feel old, but, you know, that's also when people can, you know, correct you and say, oh, call me Samara, oh, call me whatever. You know, don't take, and I just don't think, some people take offense to it when they shouldn't. It is a sign of respect that you're giving someone, that you're not just calling them, hey, you.
Well, and I'm a very firm believer, if I want people to respect me and respect my ideas and positions on things as a person, you know, I also need to be the type of person to show them the same respect that I want them to show me. So I'm very much a firm believer in that, even though I'm not a big fan of people calling me ma'am, I am a firm believer in showing people the same respect and courtesy that I would like to be shown. And
right.
And it really does go a long way with people. And
I work in a job, and as a lot of you know, I've often said I can't discuss exactly what I do, but I work with people who can sometimes be rather difficult. And I've learned that just a little bit of politeness, calling people sir, calling people Mr. or Ms., that level of courtesy kind of helps people calm down. You know, I'm not doing it to be, I'm not doing it to condescend, I'm not doing anything. It's just like, I want you to respect me, so I'm going to respect you as a person. I may not like what you have to say, I may not like your views, but I'm still going to respect you as a person and as a human being. And I think that sometimes that we are so informal in our communities, because paganism did kind of grow up in some respects in an informal setting, that sometimes we don't necessarily think that we need to be a little bit more, I'm not saying like super formal in our interactions, but kind of be mindful of, you know, the manners our parents taught us, you know, to say please and thank you and sir or ma'am or Mr. or Ms. just as a form of respect. It's not condescending. It's just showing that we're showing respect to the people that we're speaking with or talking to.
Right. And I've also found, you know, I've worked various jobs within, you know, the service industry. I've also been in professional positions. So I've also found that regardless of how someone is treating you, when you call them sir or ma'am, it catches them off guard for a minute. If they're talking down to you, or if they're angry or upset about something, and you call them sir or ma'am, it does catch them off guard for a moment, and they're like, oh, well, this person's actually talking to me like I'm a human being.
Right, right.
So, yeah. I mean, it may not be something that people think about a lot, but it is something that, you know, can put you in a position that will take you a long way, regardless of if you're in a leadership role or just, you know, just someone in the community that wants to help out or do things. You know, if you use that term with everyone that you talk to, if you don't know their name, it's going to get you a long way. So, what other common courtesies besides ma'am and sir do you think is something that, you know, our community as a whole can pick up and use?
Well, I think one thing is like if there's an event, if you're a guest at an event, one thing that's always polite is to ask if you can help clean up or help pick up for a couple minutes afterwards. It really goes a long way for people. Like at a local pagan pride day at a circle or something where like a place has to be rearranged and then put back in place. It's really, really helpful if you say to like the host or the people who are in charge, you know, is there anything you need help with? Or asking people if they need help. It's, to me, that's kind of a courtesy thing. If, like, you're going to a potluck, make sure you bring a dish to feed people.
Right, and if you're actually in that one of those leadership roles, whether it be a nonprofit organization, a circle, coven, kindred, whatever, if you are in that leadership role and you are seen helping out another organization or another circle or coven by doing things like this, you're being a great role model. You're showing others, hey, we may have our differences, but I'm still helping these people.
Well, and not only that, especially if you're, like, in a leadership position, I think one of the best things you can say to someone who's helping you out, thank you for helping me. Because we had some help at Louisville Pagan Pride Day setting up and taking our booth down. And I was very grateful to the people who helped tear our booth down and helped pack my van up. You know, it's like, thank you very much for your help. I really appreciate it. You know, I can't give you anything monetary for your time, but for a lot of people, a simple thank you very much, I appreciate your help, can really go a long way. Because number one, of course, it shows gratitude. And number two, it's very polite. You know, if someone says, you know, can I help you, and they help you, it's only right that you should say thank you very much.
Right, because they don't have to help you. And when they are helping you, the thanks is the least you can do.
Right.
And also, I just want to throw it out there, if anybody listening live would like to put in their little 2 cents on our conversation, feel free to call us at 347-308-8222. And if you want to be on the air with us and have a discussion with us, press 1, and we will put you on the air with us. So I just want to throw that out there, because this is a conversation that we would like to have with everyone, not just us.
Yeah, and this is also something that we want to put out there for people to discuss amongst themselves. So feel free to discuss this amongst yourselves. Feel free to give us feedback on our Facebook page. You know, I know there's going to be people out there who do not agree with us or agree with me or Samara on our opinions. But you know what? That's wonderful. I like hearing from diverse opinions. I may not agree with your opinion, but I like hearing from it, because sometimes it makes me think, oh, hey, I never thought of it that way. And that's
and the point is also, sorry.
And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just like, hey, I never thought of it from that angle. Oh, now I see where this person's coming from.
Right. And the point is to at least get the conversation going. Get the conversation going in your group or your area. You know, have that conversation out there with other people and say, you know what, I heard this, you know, being talked about on the True Life, you know, hour or on the radio or however you want to put it, and this is something that I think our community should address, or this is something, you know, that we can talk about and discuss and be like, you know, maybe our leaders should be doing something like this.
Right, right. I mean, this is just a conversation. And like I said, this is a thesis. This is an idea that we've put out. And, you know, this is kind of our thoughts on the situation. And your mileage may vary. So.
Okay. And before we actually head into the next part of this, I believe we should probably go ahead and take a short break.
Okay.
So I am going to let the board take over and go ahead and play a
My Mystic Gems. My Mystic Gems offers a unique and unusual variety of vintage and modern jewelry items. My handcrafted creations include steampunk jewelry, crystal and elemental designs, cosplay accessories, wish wands, and beautiful bullets, my signature line of piece jewelry. My designs are perfect for all gift occasions, including holidays, birthdays, and anniversaries, as well as bridesmaids and groomsmen's gifts for weddings. I do offer custom pieces and will work with you to create something special just for you. Visit my website at mymysticgems.com to find links to both my Etsy and Artfire stores online. You can contact me at mymysticgems@gmail.com.
Round and around
Maybe the same song that Tracy played earlier for the Priestesses show. And if so, I apologize. But there's a little bit of confusion on which song I was wanting to play, but we will play another one that I was wanting to play at the next break. But that was a pretty good song. I think I found a new group to to find on, download onto my iPod. So what about you, Raven?
It is a nice song.
Yes, it is. So, and for those of you who are wondering, just real quick, Serenity was not able to join us tonight. He is taking a much-needed vacation in Florida. And Nikki is spending time with some family right now tonight, so they were not able to join us tonight.
Yeah, well, I hope Serenity has a safe and happy trip and safe journeys, and I hope Nikki gets to have a lot of fun with her family and get some quality time in that she needs with them.
Right. So we will go on to our next subject as part of professionalism in the leaders in the pagan community and the community itself. And the next thing that we wanted to address is communication amongst leaders, groups, and organizations.
Yeah, because one thing that especially I have noticed with some of the so-called witch wars that I have seen, a lot of times is a misunderstanding that starts off very small. And a lot of times it's a misunderstanding in communication that just blows up and can consume the entire community. And that's what we're talking about here. So with that being said, let's see. If I go to group A and Samara goes to group B, or say we lead group A and group B, and I do things one way because I think it's the right way to do things. She does things another way because she thinks that's the right way to do things. How do you think such a is it necessarily a disagreement? Or is it number one, is it a disagreement or is it a different way of doing things? And then
how run into this personally because we're all in a group together that we celebrate the Sabbath together, and we take turns leading the rituals and writing the rituals, and we do run into this. And luckily, the people that are in our group are very accepting and very willing to try new stuff.
Right, right. But say you show up and you kind of just don't agree with the way things are being done. How do you think it should best appropriately be handled?
Personally, for me, if you're showing up at another event or circle or ritual, you're not leading it, you're there as a guest, and you don't agree with it, how it's being handled, speak to the leader afterwards away from everyone. Bring up the issues you had with it and maybe discuss why they do it that way. It may be something you never thought of. It may be something that once they tell you why they do it that way, it actually does make sense to you. You know, give them the opportunity to discuss it with you. I would say don't do it in a aggressive fashion, I guess is what I would say.
Right,
you know, make it an open discussion. And if you still don't agree, you know, well, then it's just a group that's not for you.
Right. And Samara,
it's nothing personal.
Pretty much read my mind on that. I would say to kind of watch your tone of voice and not say, don't go to a leader and say, I can't believe you write your quarters this way. Because that's one of our running things that we talk about in our little grove, is that, like, I do quarters completely differently from the way everyone else does quarters. And it's just because my practice is completely different. But it's one of those things where if I'm writing the ritual, everybody knows that the quarters are going to be done this way because that's the way I do things. But when someone else does a ritual, it's like, you know, the quarters are going to be done their way because that's the way they do things. But don't go up and say, you know, I can't believe you did it such and such way. More polite way to say it is, I have a question. I have never seen the quarters called in that particular manner. I was curious, why do you do it that way? That is a very neutral question. You know, you're not accusing the person of calling the quarters wrong. You're just saying, you know, I've never seen the quarters called that way. Why do you do it that way? That way you can get clarification because different people do call quarters different ways. Different people do different elements of rituals different ways. And different people, you know, will tell you, you know, I do it this way because it feels right to me, to the deities I'm working with, the energy in that situation. It, you know, and in turn, if you are a leader of a ritual, you know, just because someone is coming up and asking you, you know, I've never seen it done this way, why did you do it that way? They're not necessarily questioning you or your position. They're just, a lot of times, just asking for information. It's like, hey, I've never seen someone call the quarters that way. They're asking for that information. They're not saying, I can't believe that you would do it that way, or it's amateurish, or this or that, just because they, you know, because sometimes people jump to conclusions after what someone has said, and it's a lot of times it's good to sit back and listen to the question the person has said, you know, once again back to the quarters, and just kind of respond to that question, you know, well, I do it this way because of this, and then you can kind of get a dialogue going, you know, and there's a big diversity of opinions in our community, and it's always good to learn different opinions. I may not agree with it, but it's always interesting to have that knowledge tucked away in my head.
And even if you don't agree with how something is done, you may understand why that person does it that way.
Right.
You may not feel comfortable doing it that way yourself, but you understand why the person feels comfortable doing it that way for them. And the other thing is, too, is as a pagan community, you know, whether you be Wiccan, Ossetry, whatever, recreation, whatever, we always want other religions to be open-minded and to understand our point of view and to be accepting of us. But it seems like there are so many people within our own pagan community that want that from other religions that they can't provide it to people within their own pagan community with other, you know, whether it be, you know, Alexandrian or Ossetru or, you know, the Krillian tradition, whatever. You know, you have to practice what you preach. If you want people
right.
to be tolerant of you, if you want people to be accepting of you and to view your views, you got to be willing to do the same.
And I honestly also think that agreeing to disagree is okay. You know,
right.
I think there's a polite way to kind of agree to disagree. Like, I'm going back to the quarters thing again. Tamara and I do not call our quarters the same way. We don't even work with the same pantheon of deities. However, when she writes a ritual, it's going to be done her way, and I'm okay with that. When I write a ritual, it's done my way. And we've just kind of agreed, okay, in our own practice, we're not going to do a ritual that way for the group because the style doesn't feel right to us. But, you know, just because we don't agree with the way, like, we do quarters or stuff doesn't mean that I think Samara is a bad person or that Samara thinks I'm a bad person. It's just that we don't necessarily agree on 100% of the way we write our rituals, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that
right.
we just agree with it, and that's okay.
And to to kind of play off of that, that's not a personal conflict for us. But there are people within the community that do have personal conflicts with other leaders or other members within the pagan community. And just because you have an issue with someone doesn't mean everyone else does, and it doesn't mean everyone else needs to know what your issue is.
Exactly.
Unless you have solid proof and evidence maybe that this person is harming someone. And I mean solid proof or evidence that you can go to the police with. But if it's something that someone else told you and someone else told that person, and it's probably not a smart thing to spread it, because then you also look like a gossip and like you're trying to start stuff.
Right, right. And there is a lot of gossip in the community. And a lot of times it especially has to do over the one subject that everybody freaks out about, breakups. Like two people in the community will be together for a while and then all of a sudden their relationship implodes. And then everybody around wants to know the magic words, what in the heck happened? And that can really start stuff swirling in the community. You know, I think there is an appropriate way to handle a breakup in the community, even a high-profile breakup, which in my mind is always, it didn't work out between us. I really don't wish to discuss it right now, but thank you for your concern.
And it doesn't just have to be a relationship breakup. It can be people leaving other groups.
Right.
And going to another group. You know, and honestly, if you think about it, and people leave churches in the Christian religion and go to other churches all the time, and it's not always a huge issue. Sometimes it's just because one church is closer, or they have more friends at another church, and it could be the same way with groups, you know? It could be that they have more friends with another group, or they just felt like they'd outgrown one group, or that they could learn more from another group. It's not a personal attack on anyone. It's not a personal attack on in either group. And some people want to gossip and make it that like it is, and it's not.
Right. Right. And that goes back to, you know, just because you have a grievance with someone in the community also does not mean that the whole community needs to hear about your grievance. Because that is one way to where, you know, these kind of battles and issues get started, is where person A gets mad at person B, and then person A talks to person C, and all of a sudden, you know, people on every side, and they're kind of taking sides. And it's like, when it's like a really minor kernel of an issue, it could have been worked out between the two of them if they just kind of had not tried to pull everybody and their brother in on their respective sides.
Right. It's like, you know, if you have a conflict with someone, especially if you haven't talked to that person about the conflict you have, don't be bringing other people in. Go to that person and talk to them. Maybe you can work it out. Or at least, even if you can't work out the conflict itself, maybe you can work out some kind of working relationship. Because we are all in this for the community. Most of the leaders in the community I know are in it for the community.
Right.
They're not in it for control. They're in it for the community.
Right, right. And I'm also a firm believer of, you know, there are some people in the community on a personal level that I simply just do not like as a person. I don't like them as a person, you know. However, I can work with them on a professional level because they have value to the community. And just because I don't necessarily like someone as a person does not mean that I can't set aside what I consider my personal differences with this person and work with them on a professional level to help the community grow.
Right, and that's something that we actually, you know, when we decided to create the center, as the board of founders, that is one of our rules, that, you know, any personal conflict you have with anyone outside of the Board of Founders or even within the Board of Founders stays personal and will not be discussed publicly. No one outside of the two people or the Board of Founders will know that you have an issue with anyone else.
Right. And it really kind of helps to help stamp down some of the he said, she said stuff.
But right. And
go on, Samara.
Oh, I was just going to say, and that kind of leads into, you know, the whole social media thing.
Oh, yes, yes. Facebook, Twitter, and other forms of social media. Oh, what can we say about social media?
How about the best suggestion that I've ever heard about making any posts on social media is don't post anything that you don't care if the world knows.
I happen to agree with you there 100%. Also, I would say kind of know what your settings are on your Facebook page before you post something. Because I know there's a lot of people who are closeted. I'm not. But there's a lot of people who are closeted to their family and stuff. And if you can make the wrong comment on a friend's page, and if you don't watch your settings, all of a sudden you've been outed to the world as being pagan when previously you had decided that you didn't want to be out for whatever your reason is.
And also don't forget that whether you're on Twitter, Facebook, whatever, they can change policies at any time. And
yeah.
Your settings can be set completely different when they do an update or something. You need to stay up to date on anything that they're doing. And
mm-hmm.
you need to make sure that your settings are set the way you want them.
Right. And another thing you see on Facebook all the time is talking about, you know, people are talking about relationships, arguments, this, that. To me, it's like, I don't know, I have an issue with airing my dirty laundry on Facebook.
For one, some of it seems kind of high school.
Yeah.
And
me,
if you're in high school, don't take offense. For those of us that aren't in high school anymore, we really didn't want to go back to that.
Well, and it stems back to the gossip and the backbiting and stuff that we kind of want to prevent.
Right, and another thing is, especially if you are a leader in the community, you want to look at what you're posting and think, is that something a leader should be posting?
Right.
Especially when it comes down to your personal life. Does everyone want to know any stuff about your personal life? Because, for example, I know Ravenfire and I both have two separate Facebook pages. And it's not because we're not open to our family and friends. It's because we have one set up to just, you know, talk to our direct family and friends and people that we know personally. And then we have our public persona to post and talk to people within the capacity as, and we both find it kind of funny that this term applies to us now, as leaders in the community. Because we may talk to our friends about stuff that's going on in our personal life, with our jobs, whatever, but we're not going to go out and post that same thing on our personal persona that is set to public.
Yeah, and I happen to agree with that. Because, you know, there's stuff on my regular Facebook page that I would not post on my public Facebook page because my regular Facebook page is for family and friends. And my other Facebook page is for, you know, as I say, business uses. And, you know, it's kind of like on my business page, it's like people don't need to know who I'm in a relationship with or, you know, that I'm stressed out because of this or upset over this. You know, people don't need to know that. You know, maybe
right.
my friends do, maybe my family does. But, you know, the whole world doesn't need to know, you know, hey, I just got in a relationship, or hey, I just had a breakup, or something like that. You know, the whole world doesn't need to know that. That's immaterial of what I'm doing now with my job in the community.
So we need to take our second break.
Yes, we do.
And when we come back, we will wind up our stuff with the social media and go on to what we will be doing next week and what's going on in the community. So I'm going to play the song that I was really wanting to play earlier, but there was some confusion. But like I said, that was a good song. I've been introduced to a new group. But I was wanting to play the Circle song by Murphy, Midnight Rounders. That kind of goes along with, you know, our whole discussion tonight. It's also kind of known as the anti-witch war song. So I'm going to play that.
Awesome.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
They will never see a need that can't be solved with a curse. The point of view they take is that their tradition should come first. The dividing line they draw between the good guys and the worst is the circle that divides community. They go round and round in circle, but the logic's still the same. If you don't believe what I do, your tradition's pretty lame. The circle that you cast upon division is to blame. It's the circle that erodes community. For the circle's ever-expanding, and it changes with the times. The circle has no corners, and there are no straight lines. One hand leads to another, with no one left behind. It's the circle that defines community. We go round and round in circle, we reach out for younger hands. We include all who desire it, be they foe or be they friend. For our strength is in inclusion, not the side on which we stand. It's the circle that involves community. We go round and round in circle, and the circle ever grows. And the strength we bring together is the strength that each one shows. And ye harm none is our battle cry, may the circle never close. It's the circle that reflects community.
All right, and we are back, and that's a song that I know the first time I heard it, I was, you know, very, you know, it really hit me about, you know, the circle reflecting community, and that is what the Tree Life Community Center is all about, is we want this to be for the community.
No, I agree, the center... A center by the community, for the community.
All right. So, again, that is the Circle song by Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and it's also known as the Anti-Witch War song. So, we will finish up with our discussion on social media.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, I'd say another thing you have to watch on social media is, especially on like with us on our professional pages, what you comment on. Like, especially if there's people having conflicts, you know, what you comment on and how you say what you say. Because on social media especially, you can't tell voice inflection or facial expressions. All you get is words on a screen. And you have to be careful. Sometimes you have to be very careful of how you choose your words and what words you put up on that screen. Because it can potentially, some words can be potentially taken the wrong way. When you, what you meant to say was X, but what came across was Y.
Right, and I know most people have ran into that word either texting on the phone, on Facebook, through an email. Things don't always come across like you think they're going to come across.
Right. And then, you know, always goes back to the issue of communication, you know. If someone says something and you're not entirely sure what they meant, a good rule of thumb would always be, I was just curious, what did you mean by that? That's not necessarily a accusatory question. It's just, hey, what did you mean by that? I'm not sure what you meant. I want to make sure that I heard your message right. Not that I'm questioning what you said.
Right, and someone even made a comment in chat saying that even hi can be taken incorrectly.
Yes, sometimes it can.
So,
or especially pronouncing Norse words with Kentucky accent. Yeah, that can be taken the wrong way.
So kind of our point is with the social media is think before you post.
Very much.
You know, especially if you're, you know, you've got, you know, 2,000 friends on your friend list. Even if you're not, don't consider yourself a leader in the pagan community or any community, but you have 2,000 friends on your friends list, you might want to think about what you're posting.
Well, and then here's a question. Is your boss on your friends list? Is your supervisor on your friends list? You know, do you have coworkers on your friends list? Are your coworkers on your friends list really your friends? You know, I always think that good rule of thumb is to always, you know, think when you post that the whole world should see it.
Right. So we are going to, this is actually a subject that there's a lot of things that we can address on. This is just part of it. We probably will be having future shows on hopefully, you know, professionalism and trying to deter the term witch wars. But today we are going to have to kind of end our discussion there so that we can go on and, you know, talk about what is going on in the community. So, Ravenfire, do we have any announcements or events coming up in the community as a whole or locally? Hello? Okay, it looks like I'm not sure what happened. Ravenfire, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I accidentally dropped off the air for a moment. Okay.
Well, it was just a moment. So did you, by chance, were you able to hear what I asked you?
No, ma'am, I was not. I had to call back in. So what did you ask me?
I asked you if you knew of any events or announcements that need to be made for locally or even, you know, the larger community-wise of anything going on.
I really haven't heard of any. No one's really contacted me with any events. If you do have an event that you want us to promote on the Tree of Life Hour, please hit our Facebook page up at facebook.com/treeoflifelouky, and we are more than happy to announce your event on our show, especially if you are in the greater Kentucky area. But anywhere is fine. We'll be more than happy to give your event or gathering a plug on our show. The
right,
only event. Yeah, the only big event I know of that's going on right now is December 21st or 22nd, 2012, at 8:10 in the morning at Applebee's here in Louisville on Outer Loop. I know our listeners are probably getting tired of hearing us say this, but it's the We Survived the End of the World Pancake Breakfast and Pajama Party. It's going to be $7 a person. Come out and join us because it is really going to be a very, very, very fun time.
Right, and there is rumor of a zombie attack.
Where did you hear such rumors of zombie attacks?
I can't say, but I heard there might be a huge group of zombies showing up.
Zombies are going to invade our pancake breakfast? What?
So everyone might want to come early to eat their pancakes in case they have to run.
Okay, so I guess we need to talk a little bit about, we've had some changes going on here at the Tree of Life show.
Yes, we will, starting next week, we will be moving to Thursdays. So
yes,
it will be November 29th on Thursday.
Starting
and we will
at,
also be moving our time.
Yep. 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, or 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central.
So we will actually be opening, doing the first hour before Reverend Terry and Reverend Dawn start their show.
That is most excellent.
Yes, I love listening to both of them, so I'm excited.
Yes, I am very excited about the time change, actually.
Yeah, so we also get to move a little bit earlier in the day. So.
Yay!
Which actually makes it easier on some of our other members, too, to be on the air. So we're excited about that.
Yeah, so I guess we should talk about next week's show.
Yes, next week we will be doing the first of many shows that we'll be talking about Pagan Dollars.
Yes. The first show of the Keeping Pagan Dollars Pagan campaign, we are going to talk about the care and feeding of our wonderful pagan vendors. I know for sure we will have Amy Chappelle from Beloved Viking Vinyl on our show. I also believe Phil Shook of Earth Circle Creations for sure will be on our show. I plan on talking to a couple of other vendors to join us next week. Hopefully Nikki will be on our show next week. We're talking about vending in the community and what we as a community can do to help our vendors and help our pagan businesses grow.
Right, and Ed may even be jumping by for a few minutes to discuss it with us.
Awesome. Awesome.
He's kind of become the leader of the movement, let's say.
Yeah, we will say that we got the Keeping Pagan Dollars Pagan campaign idea. We got it from Ed Hubbard at Circle Quest. I will admit, yes, the idea was acquired from him. We just have decided to pick up the ball and run with it.
So that is what we have going on next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably might want to post I think they might be doing it somewhere else, but we might want to also post a schedule on our Facebook page at it is facebook.com/treeoflife KY, right? No,
L-O-U-K-Y.
Sorry, brain glitch. Sorry, facebook.com/treeoflife, L-O-U-K-Y. And we probably need to post our own schedule up there, too, of upcoming show subjects, so that way people can see that. And
I believe the show after our vendor show is we're going to talk about the local metaphysical stores.
Yes, that will be our show on December, 6th?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, December 6th, we will be talking to some of our local metaphysical shop owners. And we do have one confirmed right now.
Oh, and who's that? Who did you get to come on our show?
Right now, Lady G from The Matrix has agreed to come on and speak to us. She said she will probably be a few minutes late, but she has agreed to come on and speak to us about, you know, local metaphysical shops. And we want to talk about more from the aspect of, you know, what they do for the community and what the community does for them also. So it's not just going to be about pagan dollars. It's also going to be about support for the community and the community supporting them. So,
yeah. And, it hopefully sounds like an excellent show.
More.
Sounds like an excellent, excellent show.
So, but next week will be our pagan vendors. So it is time for us to go.
Yes, it is. So I will say good night and have a safe and happy weekend, everyone. And thank you for listening.
And everyone have a safe weekend of shop. Hopefully everyone's out of the way of shopping and stuff for turkey and kind of in comas right now. And we will talk to everyone starting next Thursday. So everyone have a good evening, good night, and good week.
Thank you for joining us on WSI-sponsored Pagans Tonight Radio Network. You can hear us every night right here on Blog Talk Radio, or download us later on iTunes. Please check our schedule for accurate show times. For all questions, comments, or show suggestions, you can email us at pagans tonight@gmail.com and let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you. You can also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and now on LiveJournal. We invite you to tune in again tomorrow night. Good night, and blessed be.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.